It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than reading a Twitter troll's comments. It's better than that. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry. Hello, Joe.
Yes, hello.
And Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
On the show, one senator is preventing a lot of military promotions. Elon Musk is preventing trolls from being silenced. A museum for failure. It's a Tory museum, so it might come to a town near you. Next up is D.C. We'll tell you about that. And scamming scammers with Elon Musk. We'll fill you in with that. But the first topic on the slate for the show is about Tommy Tuberville, the former college basketball football coach turned senator, making some headlines. So right now, the United States is at without confirmed chiefs for three of its military services, according to Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, who called the situation unprecedented, blaming it on Tuberville, who's a Republican, on holding up high-level military promotions. Quote, because of this blanket hold starting today, for the first time in the history of the Department of Defense, three of our military services are operating without Senate-confirmed leaders, Austin said at a relinquishment of command ceremony for outgoing Chief of Naval Operations Admiral Mike Gilday in Annapolis. This is unprecedented, it's unnecessary, and it's unsafe. So in December of last year, Tuberville pledged to block all senior Department of Defense nominations over the Pentagon policy to reimburse travel costs for service members seeking abortion. So if you lived in a state where you couldn't get an abortion and you had to travel to a state to get an abortion, the Pentagon would pay for it. And Tuberville does not like this. But to Tuberville's point, he goes, I'm not actually preventing confirmations because Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has the ability to force a vote on any nominee. And Schumer's rejected this option, not wanting to cave into what he says is a politicization of the military nomination process. But so Schumer probably could do these for the heads of the chairman of the service chief positions. He's not going to do a separate vote for every promotion. It would be untenable. Austin called it a painful milestone, saying more than 300 nominations for outstanding general and flag officers are now being held up in the United States that include our top uniformed leaders. The sweeping hold is undermining America's military readiness. It's hindering our ability to retain our very best officers, and it is upending the lives of far too many American families. Our troops deserve better. Our military families deserve better, our allies and partners deserve better, and our national security deserves better. And he also said, I can't believe it's not better, but it is very nice on a bagel and toast. The Pentagon will not change... nothing. What are you going to do? Try it. Tough crowd. The Pentagon will not change its abortion travel policy, which it instituted after the repeal of Roe v. Wade to placate Tuberville, according to Deputy Pentagon Press Secretary Sabrina Singh. If you are a service member stationed in a state that has rolled back or restricted healthcare access, you are often stationed there because you were assigned there. It's not that you chose to be there. And so a service member in Alabama deserves to have the same access to healthcare as a service member in California, as a service member stationed in Korea. And so that's what the policy does, Singh said during a briefing. All right, so Pip, this was your blog, which you can read on davincomedy.com. I certainly encourage you to take 5 minutes and do that.
Well, my feeling about this is that, as stated in the article, is that this is outrageous to be using this type of measurement to basically argue with other, government functions or other government decisions. The Pentagon has decided that if a servicewoman is stationed in a state where she's not getting the health care that she needs, that they will reimburse her to go to the other state where she can get the health care that she needs. Now, the GOP is fine for saying that, each one of the states can decide for themselves. You know, each state should be self-governing. But then again, this is a federal jurisdiction, and they have to be able to allow them to go to another place if they need something in that place. The other thing that irks me, and maybe this is a side point, but here's a person who is advocating for his state when he doesn't even live in that state. He has sold off all of his holdings in Alabama, and he has on various papers promoted that his home state is Florida, where his wife lives and is a real estate agent. So he's got a lot of nerve talking about, you know, I'm going to hold up all of this government operation when he's not even doing his job in the place where he was represented.
Joe, he sounds like a carpetbagger, doesn't he?
Yes, he does sound like a carpetbagger. And he sounds like somebody who, it's good for me, but it's not good for the rest of y'all. So the other problem is that this is a dangerous thing to do, is allow one person in government to hold up the,
nomination.
I have a little brain fog. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The nomination of all of these
military personnel.
Military officials. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Because, you know, first of all, if you want to have, if somebody is promoted to a however many star general position, but somebody else is in that position at the moment who is an acting member, that's not really efficient. It's not fair to have military personnel putting their whole lives on hold and their families' lives on hold because they haven't been able to move forward. And this hasn't been just, oh, we decided not to be there at the graduation ceremony. This has been going on since February, and more commissions are coming up. And so this blockade is starting to mushroom. It's not fair. It has nothing to do with the issue at hand, these people's promotions that were earned. It's not fair in the same way that it wasn't fair when made-up reasons were used to keep the nomination of a Supreme Court judge because of made-up rule of a time period. Oh, it's too close. No, you just made that up. So now here's another GOP member using made-up rules. Well, because I don't like this rule about abortion and how the Pentagon is handling it, I'm going to stick my cork in the flow of how everything works because I can. It's not right. It shouldn't be done.
I agree with you that it's not right. I don't know if I necessarily agree that it's wrong for one person to gum up the works, because really one person couldn't gum up the works. Because, you know, Mitch McConnell could go to Tuberville and go, knock it off. I'm gonna take you off the committees, and you're gonna get the worst office in the joint. And Chuck Schumer, at the very least, could say, you know what? Fine, I'm gonna put every head of the Coast Guard, whatever it is, the Navy, I'll put them up for a floor vote. I mean, you could do that. Are you gonna? You could do 300. They go, you want to do this? Fine, we will put up 300. It's not like they're that busy doing stuff. You know, they
also,
could.
Also, I do agree with Tuberville in the fact that they're not denying leave. If you have to go on leave to have it, they're not denying leave. However, the taxpayers shouldn't be picking up the tab for it.
Yeah, but Joe, what you're going to do is then you're going to lose qualified people, because people will go, you know what? I have to pay more because you stationed me here. Say you're stationed in New York. Say you're from New York, and then all of a sudden you get stationed in Alabama. Why should I have to pay more? All right, I'm not going to go to Alabama. So now you're going to court martial somebody.
You developed cancer. You come down with a disease. You didn't catch a pregnancy. Okay, that's something that was you're in control, that you should have had responsibility for. If you decide to have an abortion, fine, you will get leave. However, we're not paying the travel costs on that. That's not coming out of the taxpayer's pocket.
Why? Would it in a state on the Northeast? It comes out of the taxpayer's pocket. Well, not the travel, but the abortion is paid for by the taxpayers. And this is not paying for the abortion. This is paying for their travel. That's what it's paying for.
What I'm saying is we shouldn't be on the hook for the travel.
Well, then you're not going to get good military personnel. You're going to have even less people who want to be in the military, and they're already having a hard time retaining people and recruiting people.
Instate the draft, and maybe women shouldn't be in the military at all, in combat positions or in a position where they could get pregnant. It's something
Wow.
We shouldn't be on the hook.
Let me ask you a question, Joe. Do you get, like, a lot of abrasions as your knuckles are scraping against the ground?
No, but what I do have is common sense that I'm sick and tired of picking up the tab for everything.
Pick up the tab. All right. Well, pick up the tab for everything. Well, welcome to America. All right. When we come back, no more blocking. No, we're not talking about the Jets' offensive line. We're talking about Elon Musk.
This is Davin's Den. Is Davin's Den.
And we are back. You're listening to Davin's Den. Thank you guys for hanging out. We just had a spirited conversation. Really could have done another 20, 30 minutes on that topic, to be honest with you.
Easy.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic. And, you know, I'm sure at some point we'll get back to it. But right now, this just broke a couple of days ago. Elon Musk making headlines with X. Users of X. And by the way, I'm tired of them every time they say X, formerly known as Twitter. You know what? You rebranded it. I don't want to know what it was formerly known as anymore. It's like wishing me Happy New Year in May. Stop it. We get it. Or we don't.
Yeah,
enough.
You know what? I think it's recent enough where people are going, what's X? And they go, oh, Twitter. Oh, yeah, that's right. So, we'll be hearing the reference a little bit more.
Nah, no, yeah. no. He doesn't deserve for us to know what it was. Anyway. X, formerly known as Twitter, will no longer be able to block comments from unwanted followers, according to a post by Elon Musk. He's eliminating what's long been viewed as a key safety feature. Blocking will only be available for direct messages. He didn't provide a reason or a time frame for eliminating the block function, only saying in a follow-up response that it makes no sense and that the mute function will still be available. So what mute will mean is that you won't see the comments, but the comments will still be there for everybody else to see. Users have been able to use the block function to make sure that hateful content and harassment doesn't show up on their feed. So, like, if somebody's really being a scooch to you, you can blog them, and they won't see your stuff anymore. James Woods, who's been a supporter of Elon Musk and is a big Twitter guy or X guy, thinks this is a horrible decision because I guess he's been harassed, I guess, by people on the left wing. And he goes after Elon Musk, goes, I guess he's just after, like, capitalism. Well, yeah, that's where we live, silly. But anyway, so Elon Musk responds and goes, all right, then delete your account. And I think more and more people are going to do that. Now, Elon is saying this is for free speech. Really what this is say you don't want to get any more on your feed from Joe's Toiletries and Douche. I don't want to see any more ads from Joe's Toiletry and Douche. I'm going to block Joe's Toiletry and Douche. Well, now you can't block Joe's Toiletry and Douche. So theoretically, the advertisers are going to be very excited about this. Right. But if more people go, you know what? I don't need the X, formerly known as Twitter. I'm going to go on something else. Well, then they're not reaching those people anyway. Now, I also just read this, that it's possible he might be in trouble because it won't be carried on Apple platforms, like in the Apple Store, because it's a key safety feature. So he might have no choice, or he won't be on the Apple platform, which I don't know. He said, listen, there's a good chance X is going to fail. He actually admitted that. Yes, there's a very good chance because you're not good at this. You are very bad at this. Have you guys ever blocked anybody?
No, not really.
I don't think I have.
I don't think I have, but none of us are prolific Twitter or are prolific Xers or whatever the heck it is. But I could see how it's a very valuable function. And isn't it an exercise of my free speech by saying I don't want to hear what you or see what you have to say? Isn't that free speech also? Like, say Pip is constantly harassing me, as she's wont to do. Isn't it my free speech to go, you know what? I don't want her seeing my content, and I don't want to see her anymore. I mean, that you're taking away one of my freedoms. This is it's supposed to be more free under Elon Musk. It seems like he's taking away an option.
I think that well, he's the whole thing is that he feels that you could, if you want to say what you want, you may have to, you know, choose your words carefully over fear of rebuttal. Is that curtailing free speech? Yeah, you can make that argument. I believe when the shares drop on Twitter or the business declines, they'll probably have a rethink on that. So it's, you know, it's like any other bit. We'll put out this idea. Let's see how it works.
I think this is just another horrible decision. It doesn't.
Oh yeah.
You are alienating people. I don't know anybody who said this is much better now that Elon has taken it over. And there were high hopes for him because people love this guy, or at least did love this guy. You know, originally he was loved by the left, then he was loved by the right. Listen, when you lose James Woods on the right, that's a problem.
Yeah, it is.
Well, like I said, it's like I was saying, it's like, well, then you have to really choose your statements carefully. Are you curtailing free speech, or you're not yelling fire in a theater? I don't know.
So
that's where you could break. You know, if you want to micromanage that, you know, that's where it would be.
Here's what Binance CEO Changpeng Zhao, who's an investor in the new Twitter alongside with Musk, said in a post about what the company should focus its attention on. X should really solve the bots and spam problems before removing blocks, wrote Zhao, whose company owns one of the world's largest crypto exchanges. Just my two cents. Yeah, it does seem like there's bigger fish to fry if you want to have a better platform, because there's still a lot of you know, bots on there. You know, what they're doing, who knows? I don't know. I'm not an expert. I'm not an expert on robots and R2-D2s. But, like, it just seems like this is an unnecessary thing. I really feel like this guy is going the way of Donald Trump in the way that he just likes to be talked about, which is what I said Trump was all about. Like if I'm not making headlines, I'm not breathing.
Right.
Be, and I think that, you know, since he's taken over the platform, he has a free speech agenda, which he is pushing this free speech agenda. But also, with what you're posting, like I said before, you need to think carefully about what you're posting. If you're that, you know, because there might be a fear of rebuttal. But if you were posting what you carefully of the fear of rebuttal, is that curtailing free speech? So,
but wait, let me ask you something. So we're talking about free speech. So is it real? I mean, is it really a free speech platform when the only people left are the worst of the worst? When anybody who's decent goes, I don't need it. I'll go someplace else. I mean, really, what are you left with?
Well, I think a lot of people left over ideology. You know,
I don't think so. I don't think so. I disagree, because a lot of people are too much invested in it. I think they don't like it. I think the product was on decline anyway. But it doesn't function better. There's newer things. Maybe they don't like Elon Musk, but they don't want to pay for it. Where, like, you could pay for a check mark. So if I wanted to pretend to be Joe Curry at the time, I could pay to be Joe Curry, and there was no verification on it. So you lost a lot of celebrities at that point. You know, it's,
and also with Twitter, certain things, like, if I, like, example, like my the anniversary of my mom's death, I posted a tribute to my mom on Facebook. I posted a tribute to my mom on Instagram. I didn't do it on Twitter because I feel Twitter is just not that conducive of a place for that, you know?
I agree.
Just for the sort of things that go on there. So with that in mind, it's, you know, it's turning into the wild, wild west, but that's what Twitter's always been. And like I said, it's going to be up to the shareholders and where this goes in decline in viewership on the platform. And
are there shareholders? Are there shareholders?
Maybe I'm wrong, but I do think that, you know, when the profits are down. When the profits are
the
down.
The profits are down, Joe.
Well, I remember reading that he bought more than 51%, so I think there are shareholders.
Well, either way, I mean, he's not making money on it, and I don't think the advertisers are going to be happy. Like, yeah, you're going to show up in streams, like you in feeds, you can't be blocked. There's going to be a lot less people there. I don't think most people block advertisers, you know? I don't think it's that.
They might be blocking people that are harassing them.
Right.
And you got to understand, it's in business. Sometimes there comes, and I know this day after day, there comes some policies from an executive boardroom that are absolutely ridiculous, and it takes a decline in sales or viewership to kind of make them wake up and smell the coffee. I would feel this would be the case in the coming months.
All right. When we come back, I'm gonna go on the record and say X is going to be a failure, and we're going to talk about a museum of failure. Don't go anywhere.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
And we are back. You are listening to Davin's Den and hopefully enjoying this fine product. And hopefully you won't block us. So there's a brand new gallery dedicated to retail objects that have bombed commercially. It was in Brooklyn. Next, I believe it's going to Washington, D.C. I believe it opens up on September 7th. I believe that's the next place you could catch this museum. So it's called the Museum of Failure, and it collects failed products and services from around the world, according to their website. And they think it's a fascinating learning experience into failed innovation. Every time provides unique insight into the risky business of innovation, continues the site. The museum aims to stimulate productive discussion about failure and inspire us to take meaningful risk. I don't know if a museum of everybody stinking is going to inspire me to take a chance, but okay. I don't know. I would think if you show me a museum of, like, great inventions and the people counting their millions, like on Shark Tank, I think that might inspire me a little bit more. But what do I know?
Maybe, I just want to know something. You're in town, you got an afternoon to kill, why not?
No. I agree it's a very entertaining museum. I just don't think it's going to inspire me to go all in. Am I looking and go, well, I could do better than that? I don't know.
Well, you know what? It is inspiring to know that some very successful companies have tried something out. It didn't work, and they picked themselves up back up, and they went ahead with something else.
You know what? Here, I might be different. Joe is probably a little different, too, because we've been fire tested, because we've been in entertainment so long. We're used to no rejection and failure.
And especially as comics, you go out, when you go on stage, especially if you do a new material, whatever, you're going into the unknown. You're putting out stuff that either is going to work or is not going to work.
Let me tell you something.
And that's every night. That's every show.
Let me tell you something. The first 10 minutes of my act is nothing but the equivalent of New Coke. You know, it's just disappointing for everybody.
And there are sometimes where you do a bit that you think you're going to be carried out on people's shoulders, and you got to keep the car running and run out like Frankenstein. And then there are nights that you do a joke that you're like, all right, I just got to fill a couple of seconds with this, and it kills. And it's like, you're not supposed to laugh at that. You know? I really wasn't an A, but, you know, stuff. What are you going to do? You know?
So the exhibit was curated by Dr. Samuel West, who holds a PhD in organizational psychology and is a licensed psychologist. The biggest obstacle to innovation, according to West, is the dread of defeat, which served as his inspiration for traveling the exhibit. You think your ideas stink? Take a load of this! Okay. My research is focused on helping organizations to be more innovative, and one of the big obstacles to innovation is the fear of failure. So I was playing with the idea, how can I communicate the research findings and the importance of accepting failure? Like I said, I don't think this is I think he's stretching to think if this is going to inspire people. I agree with Joe. You know, it might be a fun afternoon. And look at this idea. What a lousy thing that was.
I'm not going there to be empowered. It's like I'm in town. Hey, what do you want to do? Hey, why don't we check out that museum? You know, just an hour and a half to most. Yeah, we'll go. Let's check it out.
You know what? You should really celebrate this museum of failure? By not going. Nobody should go. Then the Museum of Failure would be a museum of failure.
I actually think that this would be fodder for new material for you guys, because you could rip this stuff up.
Well, I wouldn't rip these people. Maybe. All right, let's discuss some of these things. We have a few minutes here. Let's discuss a couple of these products. Bic for Her pens. They were released in 2011. And basically the Bic for Her pens were just more sparkly and pretty. I actually think if they wouldn't have marketed it as Bic for Her pens and just said it like glittery Bic or zazzy Bic, I think they would have caught on. I think because they were a good looking pen.
they were good-looking pens.
Catch on. Yeah.
They, you know what? They would have been fabulous for kids, gays, yep. women. Anybody appreciates sparkle. They could have, like, done something with Barbie, and have, like, sparkle pens. Like, you know, Barbie is a writer. Here are your pens. You know, whatever. I think that people would have gone crazy if they didn't make it so stupid.
Would have been twin girls on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the mistake was marking towards a girl. This one I remember because Pip and I were starting comedy together, and this came out at the same time, and we knew a comedian who had a bit on this. Olestra. Do you remember Olestra? It was like...
Oh, God almighty. Make sure you're near a bathroom.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
It was like something...
I remember this, and I remember the bit, too.
It was something about low cholesterol, and they would put it in chips, and like Joe said... don't go for a ride in the country if you're going to be snacking on this.
Yeah, because Olestra will make it a mesta. You know, so yeah, you don't want that.
I guess Joe had a bit too.
I think the bit was eat them on the bowl.
Was that yeah, pretty much it. This one, Crystal Pepsi, and I guess the main complaint was it tasted like regular Pepsi. I vaguely remember that when it came out.
Yeah,
I want Pepsi to look like Pepsi. I don't, you know, if it's a clear drink, I want it to taste like something else. And you know what? Clear drinks are so sweet. You know, it gives the perception of that. It's really going to be more than a really sweet drink than something refreshing.
Right. True.
Probably like the biggest failure that everybody goofs on, New Coke. Here was the problem with New Coke. Everybody liked Old Coke. You should have just called it something else.
Yeah. It wasn't good, though. I don't know why. I didn't like it.
Didn't it taste more like Pepsi?
Like Pepsi.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's the whole thing. And why don't you, and Davin's right. They should have had a side product, instead of taking Old Coke away. And even Coke now. You get Coke from Mexico, it's got real cane sugar in it, where Coke from the United States doesn't. So if you look in the supermarket, you go and Stop and Shop, they'll have it. And it's delicious because they use, from Mexico, they use real cane sugar.
Yeah.
This one I don't remember, but I'm sure if we were doing a radio show at the time, it would have been on our radar. Spray-on condoms. This was from 2006 to 2008. You would insert your member into the spray apparatus. He would spray on melted latex. No. You wait 3 minutes for it to dry, and then I guess you go. There you go.
No. This is terrible.
In that moment in a time, there is nothing more unromantic than spraying something like an end table. You know?
You know, honey, I don't have time to take a shower, but I really want to get busy. Can you spray on the lemon scented pledge?
Yeah.
What? It's wood. What?
I'm just imagining the sexy face that you're supposed to put on while you're spray coating your partner's member.
That is so unsexy.
Melted latex.
So unsexy.
That would scare. That would scare my undercarriage.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing... if you can picture the woman's faces when it was the Saturday Night Live skit, Member in a Box, and they would make the face. I'm picturing that's the face you have to make while you're spraying this on. Oh, God.
So there was Harley Davidson cologne. It lasted almost a decade, from 96 to 2005. I think the fact that it lasted that long means it wasn't a failure.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, what does it smell like, Saddlebag?
What?
Yeah. What does it smell like, Saddlebag?
Smells like old biker.
Oil and leather.
Yeah. All right. There was the Twitter Peak. Which was 2009, 2010. It was a $200 handheld device that only ran Twitter. What a wonderful tool that would be. That sounds like something Elon would come up with.
That, well, you know what? That would have been something that Trump could have left in the bathroom, and then he could have had his phone for the rest of the world.
That's true. His phone would be much cleaner. All right. When we come back, speaking of Elon, we will continue my conversations with the real, indeed, Elon Musk, who's messaging me on Instagram and wants me to invest. We will be right back.
This is Davin's Den. This
is Davin's Den.
Are back. You are listening to Davin's Den. We certainly appreciate you hanging out with us, and we certainly hope you've taken time out of your evening to not spray latex on your junk and to spend it with us. We prefer you latex free when you listen to this fine show. That's how we prefer you. But you do what you need to do. You do you. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to do some scamming scammers with Elon Musk. That's what we're going to do, and we're going to hope I actually find it. I probably won't. It always takes me a little too long to find this. Come on. Here we go. Here we go. Come on. Here we go. All
right. Takes you a while to find Elon, does it?
Yes, it does. Here we go. All right.
Millions of people fall prey to internet scammers every year. When the scammers reach out to us, we scam them back. So join us for Davin's Den Scams the Scammers.
Okie dokie. So when we last left off, fake Davin really had some gripes about the MyPillow guy. He was itching a lot. He was unhappy with the product. He had a lot of gripes about the MyPillow guy. But you know, Elon was still pushing for fake Davin to invest. And fake Davin was amenable. He just had to talk to his financial advisor. That's where we last left things. So let's pick it up on March 28th of this year. He's asked me how I was the day before. I said, you know, as long as the vapors are under control and the itching stops, then for sure. This is in regards to investment. So the next day at 6:37 a.m., and that's what I like about Elon. He is up and at 'em with me, ready to start the day. At 6:37.
That's what a businessman should be.
Yes. He goes, "Hello there, sir. Good morning. How are you doing? How are you feeling now, sir? Hope I'm not bothering you early this morning." I respond about an hour later. "Good morning, Ellie," because we're tight like that. I am on an Ellie basis with Elon at this point. He goes, "How are you doing today? How are you feeling? Are you there?" I respond a couple hours later. I go, "It's been a bit rough. How are you?" He goes, "Am fine, thanks." Again, very African. Not I am fine. Am fine. But I think, is Elon South African? So maybe he is, right? No.
Elon Musk himself?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought he was. Anyway, he goes, "The itching stopped yet?" I go, "It has lessened." He goes, "Okay, glad to hear. So what's your decision about the investment, sir? And what answer, sir? I want you to be part of my company, sir." You're damn right you do. The way you were running things, you definitely need me as part of your company. I helped Joe's brother, and I will help you. All right. So here he goes.
He is South African. He's from Pretoria.
All right. I was right. So I'm dealing with the real Elon Musk. I should take him out of this segment. It's that's why he's talking like an African. Anyway.
Yeah, because he is an African.
Yes.
I Google it too. Yeah, Pretoria, South Africa.
How dare I? How dare all of
lying.
Us? It's the real Elon on Instagram without a check mark. He goes, "Below are the investment plan for the Tesla investment. I can invest $200 and earn $4,500 within 48 hours. Can we stop right there? Could you imagine that? Like, you just give somebody $200 and you get $48,000?
I would be in like Flynn.
Or $4,800, I should say. Or
yeah,
$4,500.
No, but that, yeah. And that would happen every couple of days? Hell yeah.
I could do $300 for $6,600, $400 for $8,800, $500 for $11,000, $600 for $13,200, $700 for $15,400, $800 for $17,600, $900 for $19,800, or $1,000 for $22,000, and this is with all within 48 hours. I'd be a fool not to.
Because any good quick rich scheme is a good scheme.
Yes, Joe. This guy gets it. You know, Joe is the first one who went all in with the latex condoms, by the way. He saw a good plan.
That's right.
He goes,
you all in?
All in, yes. I know what I did, dear. He goes, you can pay with U.S. dollars or Bitcoin, sir. Which would be preferable to you, sir? I go, is there an advantage to paying one over the other? He goes, can you be more specific, sir? How much would you like to start with, sir? I go, I just don't know if U.S. dollars is better than Bitcoin or vice versa. He goes, well, it's the same. You can spend Bitcoin or 1,000 U.S. dollars. It's still the same, sir. I presume you want to start with 1,000. I've mentioned not how much I'd like to invest, but Elon presumes I'd like to send him $1,000.
And he would rather have U.S. dollars initially than Bitcoin, really, because usually we want Bitcoin.
Listen. Elon's a man of integrity. I go, as soon as I can track down my financial advisor, I'm a bit worried, to be honest. He goes, I understand, sir, but I guarantee you won't regret it, sir. Well, I have a guarantee, kids. I have it here in a private text from Elon Musk on Instagram.
Well, then that is as good as gold.
Yes. I go, I know, but he has control of my money. He goes, oh, okay. He goes, I would like to be sincere with you. It's okay to take drastic measure towards things like this, but I would like things between us to be district. He wants them to be district, so we'll be doing them in D.C. from now on, of Columbia. If you can trust me, I guarantee you won't have anything to regret, sir. So keep this down on the down low. So right now, I am in violation because I am not being district. I am sharing this with all of you. I'm the bad person here.
And you have nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose.
Everything is on the up and up.
Yes. He goes, I just want to help my fans build themselves and become successful. The last thing I want is to hurt them.
What a guy.
He's a great guy. I go, oh, I'm sure you're 100% truthful and honest. I feel it in my bones. Or that is arthritis. Could be arthritis.
I think you have an inflammation problem.
I'm feeling very inflamed. He goes, okay, so would you please skip the final advisor part and get into business with me? I'm sure you can handle this yourself, sir. So again, we're seeing typical scammer. No, you don't need to tell anybody. Let's just keep this between us. And let's do it now.
Scam and A-Bay.
Yes.
Yes.
I go, I agree. But he has my money. I can't access it without his authorization. It was put in place after my accident. I'll keep trying to locate him. He goes,
because they're keeping you from your money for your own good, and now we see why.
Yes, I don't make the best decisions. I give you Exhibit Joe and Exhibit Pip. Anyway. he goes, okay, but would you do me a favor and keep this district, sir? I go, district? He goes, yeah, just between us, sir.
District.
What does he mean by district? I don't even know where you could, like, what word it would relate to that.
Well, here. Well, sure, that's why you have me. I go, oh, you mean discreet.
All righty, then.
Keep it district.
All right. Facts and purposes, district.
Yeah. He goes, yeah, sorry. Autocorrect keep doing this. I didn't even notice. No worries. I will keep it district. And he gives me a laughing. He laughs at that. He laughs. Okay. I hope to hear from you soon, sir. Take care of yourself. I go, thanks, you too. Later on that day, a few hours later, goes, hello, sir. This your financial advisor. Have you reached him yet? If you notice, I only followed 100 people, including you. You're a part of people I want to invest in any of my companies. I don't want you to be left out because of your advisor. I understand. Because I'll tell you what. Nothing says more to me like we should do business together than a follow on Instagram. That's how I know that we are boys or girls, as the case may be.
That's how business is done.
You know, it's funny
and
when
he
I
only
was,
has 100.
When I was negotiating for Joe to become part of this show, I said, Joe, I like what you bring to the table, but unless you give me a follow on Instagram, I just can't do it. And Instagram wasn't even invented yet, but I knew how important this would be.
I had to say, year by year, I had to keep in touch, and the magical day came, and I was all in.
The magical day came.
So he goes, so have you reached out to him, your advisor? I go, of course, I'm trying every hour. He goes, okay, but you don't have anything on you to start with. I go, it doesn't work that way. You know that. He goes, okay, but how much do you want to start with? Let's start with that. Ellie, you're coming off as needy. You need to chill. Go fire someone at Twitter to take the edge off.
That's awesome. You fire somebody, take the end off.
This is when he was firing everybody. He gives me a laughing emoji. He goes, "Wow, you really are hilarious." Four laughing emojis. "Well, I don't want you to be left out." I go, "So you've told me many, many times, many, many, many times." He goes, "Okay, I'll let you do you then." I go, "Okay." He goes, "Thanks for your time." I go, "My pleasure. I'm sure we'll talk again in the near future." He goes, "We are talking, sir." I go, "Of course." He goes, "All right." And then we go to March 29th at 1:10 a.m. That's when Ellie does business, at 1:10 a.m. "Hello, sir." Then at 7:15 a.m. "Good morning, sir. How are you feeling?" At 10:08 a.m., I get around to him. He is way too desperate for me. I go, "Good morning." He goes, "How are you doing today, sir?" I go, "Busy. How are you?" He goes, "I'm good. What are you doing, sir, if I may ask?" I go, "Work-related things, hiring talent and the sort." He goes, "Okay." I go, "Have you ever thought of being a comedian?" He goes, "I suppose you know why I texted, sir. I don't want to seem like I'm needy, but I want to keep you updated. I don't want to waste your time, so please don't waste mine. Very soon I'll be going public about few fans I let invest any in my company." And you know what, kids? If there's one thing I don't want to do is invest waste this person's time. That's the one thing I don't want to do.
No. You have to be district with him.
Yes, I have to be district. All right, we will leave it there. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. As always, follow us on on X at davincomedy.com, Facebook, davinsden.com, Facebook, Davin's Den, all that good stuff. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening. All right, on the break, we have new music from Norman Nitro with "You Know," and new music from All In, new music from Kate Delore with "All In," and you can listen to both those artists on khb-music.de. When we come back, we'll continue with Scamming Scammers, but we'll shift over to Anna.